So, Shavuot, I was talking to you about. Shavua is week in Hebrew, 7 days. And oat makes it plural. We started counting at Sefirot HaOmer or Chag HaBikurim, the Feast of First Fruits. You count 7 weeks, and then the next day, or if you count Sunday, the first day, as Resurrection Day, Feast of First Fruits is Resurrection Day, and you come to tomorrow. 7 weeks from Resurrection Day is tomorrow, and then that is called Shavuot, the Feast of Weeks. And this is the final feast day that was fulfilled by the first coming of Mashiach, Yeshua. The final of something is important. The final one in the second coming, as you know, is Sukkot, which is called the feast because it's the big one that we're looking forward to. But there is very much importance with Shavuot, but this is the first fruit of wheat. As you recall, barley was the first fruit of Sefirot HaOmer. This at Shavuot is wheat. Now in Israel, barley is considered poor food, usually for animal feed. And at Passover, we got saved from our animalistic nature called sin. But at the Feast of First Fruits, we start eating the good stuff of the land, the wheat. So there is a little bit concerning that. The other thing that's amazing is this feast is the only time that there's a holy element involved that includes leaven, which represents sin. And it is 2 leavened loaves waved in the temple for the Feast of Shavuot. And in the Talmud, it says they were baked on 1 sheet. So what are these 2 loaves? It has been a mystery for Israel for 1,500 years until Acts chapter 2. And then we find out the mystery revealed. So remember, a mystery in the New Testament, in the Brit Hadashah, the definition of a mystery is something that was not clearly revealed in the Tanakh that is now revealed in the New Testament. And there are not very many mysteries, because almost everything is revealed in Tanakh. But this is one that wasn't. What are the 2 loaves representing? And what is the big issue with the Feast of Shavuot, which is Messiah in you? This was never revealed in Tanakh, the Old Testament, that Messiah would actually get in you. Are you glad? So the other thing we can touch on, because we're temple fanatics here, Habet HaMikdash fanatics. The thing about Shavuot is in Deuteronomy, I think, it says, when the Lord shows you the place I will choose, the place he will choose, then you are to bring these offerings and celebrate Shavuot. It is interesting that in that text, it says the commandment for Shavuot is a celebration. Yeah, you're supposed to party this feast and celebrate the Feast of Weeks. But it was never kept until the place where God chose was revealed in Chronicles with David and Shlomo. So this is a temple situation, and this is one reason it's not a big feast in Israel or in the Jews around the world today, is because it really requires a temple. And so we're hoping for it to become a really big feast really soon, because we'll have the temple again. Amen. Yes, the place he will choose. That is the deal. And so when they finally got the temple going, they kept the Feast of Weeks. Okay. So remember, the traditional thing is that the law was given at Sinai on Shavuot, They came out of Egypt at Pesach, and 7 weeks later they were at Sinai. And so the law was given there, and traditionally it was given at Shavuot 50 days later. All right, so there is a lot of comparisons we could do with that, but let me move on before I fall down to something here for us. There was a prophet, and remember this, some of these things were not revealed in the Tanakh, but Yoel, the prophet, made a prophecy in Joel 2, and then it gets quoted in Acts chapter 2. And so it is the same thing here. And the thing that Shimon, remember it has to be Shimon, Simon, why does it have to be Shimon? Because he was given the keys to the kingdom. So Shimon opens the door at Acts chapter 2. Shimon opens the door in Acts chapter 10. And Shimon opens the door to the Samaritans. Those are the three keys and the three people groups that Yeshua sent him to for the kingdom of heaven, which is the body of Messiah, which is in you. Not the kingdom of Israel that's coming, but just the kingdom with that is within you. But Shimon says, this is what was spoken of by prophet Joel, Yoel. In the last days, I'll pour out my spirit on all people. I'll pour out my spirit in those days. So this was a prophecy that Yoel did, and no one understood what it meant. And then Peter, by the anointing of the time, was led to stand up and give that message. So Joel prophesied this most intense event. What is this most intense event and the final of the first coming of Messiah that enables us to carry on until the second coming? And we have that prophecy. And so Yeshua, now, if you notice in Yochanan Arba, which is John 4, and how about verse 23, he says, a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit. This is quite a statement. Now, is anything in the universe more important than worship? That is the end of the story, right? The final is worship. And the time is coming, which means it hasn't happened yet. You will worship in spirit. For that is the kind of worshiper the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit. So here we have these things about God is going to pour his spirit out. And then we have Yeshua now, centuries later, saying God is going to pour his spirit out, as it were here. And then in John Yochanan Sheva, Shaloshim V'Sheva, John 7:37, Yeshua is at Sukkot, his last Sukkot, until he returns. And on the last great day of the feast, he lifted up his voice at the water ceremony, remember? And he says, if any man thirst, let him come unto me. And then it says, this he meant of the Spirit, which was not yet given. So here we have another indication of this ministry of Messiah. First is prophesied in Yoel. Then he tells the woman at the well that there is a time coming and is now, which means his time, that the Spirit, people would worship in spirit. And then he says, if any man thirst, let him come unto me. And this he spoke of the Spirit, which had not yet been given. So we're having some verses here building up to some kind of an event. I don't know what. But it sounds biblically like it's a great event. But no one had any understanding because it's called a mystery. But the whole intent of this mystery was then revealed. And in Ephesians, it talks about that. So he said at Sukkot, and then John adds, this he meant of the Spirit which had not yet been given, but he's writing after the fact, so he knows now what is going on. So then that was in the temple courtyards. So about 8 months later, in the same place that he made this great declaration, it did come. And this is the fantastic event that is called the birthday of the body of Messiah and a whole new program of God and his people, the one that worship is of the Spirit. And this is happened at the temple. And of course, I know people say that it happened in the upper room, but if you do a close study, you see that they were meeting in the upper room, but on Shavuot, you would not be hanging out in the upper room. And we were singing in there last week, and it's really a cool place right above David's tomb there, and right on Mount Zion. And Mount Zion is a metaphor for the new covenant reality of the Holy Spirit life, and that's why David's tent was pitched on Mount Zion and broke all the Torah rules by having all the priests go in whenever they wanted to by the Ark of the Covenant, for crying out loud, you can't do that. But because God had told him to do this, he was painting a picture of the new covenant, because in the new covenant, there is more than one person once a year that gets to be in the presence of God. Isn't that good news? Because even that, in those days, that one person was terrified. But now you're not terrified, and you get to go into the tabernacle, the Sukkah Shel David, the tabernacle of David. So you, in the same place that Yeshua had made this declaration in Yochanan 7, we have this great event happening, which then did finalize with the three keys of Shimon opening the doors to the three people groups. It finalized the ministry of Messiah. And it is a fantastic event. If you look at Luke 24:53, it says that after he ascended, and Yeshua said, do not leave Jerusalem, wait for the gift from the Father. So now let me say, whatever this event was, this mystery, whatever it is, Yeshua calls it a gift from the Father. So we have these indications of something big coming, something big, something new, something different. Something that's going to initiate something that has never been before, and something that is going to be different than everything that ever has been. And it says in Luke there that they were always at the temple. When he ascended, they left with great joy and met at the temple daily. Temple courtyards. So for the 50 days, or the 10 days after he ascended until Shavuot, they were hanging out in the temple. And they were all excited. So I don't know if they knew that this promise would come at Shavuot. I don't know if they knew that. But that's what happened. And you know the story of what happened. In Acts chapter 2, then the promise of the Father came. And it came in a different way. I mean, talk about strange. There was wind. Okay, we can have wind. How many's had fire on your head before? Wind and fire. You know what happens when wind blows on fire? Everything is consumed. But these people were not consumed, which is the burning bush final. Moses saw this event way back in Exodus, when he saw you thorn bushes having the voice of God and fire and it being holy. So the Spirit fell with wind and fire and the holy voice of God at the Temple Mount on the Feast of Pentecost. And from that point on, we have something in this world called the body of Messiah. The fullness of Him who fills all in all, as Ephesians says. How does it exist? The mystery revealed, which is Messiah in you, the hope of glory. This is the program that God had foreseen and that He gave us 1900 and some years ago, where He was actually going to become one with fallen man. God and fallen man were going to become one vessel, one person, joined. In Zechariah, it says, who created the spirit of man within him. And the spirit of man's purpose is to have the spirit of God inhabit you. And so here we have the creation of the one new man and the parpar, what is that, the metamorphosis word, the butterfly of the new creation. And as I say, parpar's Hebrew for butterfly, and the butterfly has the metamorphosis from the caterpillar to the butterfly, and that's the word that Greek uses for what happened to you when you got born again. You became parpar instead of a worm, a butterfly instead of a worm. But you became not a homo sapien, as science says that you are. You became a homo spiritan, because God and man. And see, this is so high and so beautiful, like a monarch butterfly. It is such a perfect plan if you're a person who has ever sinned. It is beyond your biggest hope ever if you believe in God, if you love God, that you and God could become one person. This is the great event of Shavuot. And we grow up in the church like Jesus lives in my heart thing from Sunday school. But the theology of it is the Spirit of God, Spirit of Messiah, dwells in you. And so now in the New Covenant reality, you have this spiritual life of being led by the Spirit and hearing the voice of God. In the Tanakh days, the Spirit would fall on the prophets and they would prophesy, but they never had the Spirit inside of them. Only since Messiah's death and resurrection and pouring out His Spirit at Shavuot does man get the Spirit inside of him and you become one person. So this is the beautiful part of Shavuot. It is our daily life. It is the great hope. It is beautiful. And it is how you are supposed to worship now, is by the Spirit. So I don't know, we know about the contrasts, which at Sinai, 3,000 died. At Acts chapter 2, 3,000 get born again. And in Corinthians, it says the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. And we know that the Moses covenant separated the Gentiles away from Israel. But at Acts chapter 2, they come back together. So instead of a separation, the Spirit joins Jew and Gentile back. And this is the mystery of the two loaves that were leavened in the temple. Leavened loaves represent sinful man, and there's two loaves waved before the Lord because there is Jew and Gentile. And so that is what those two, but they're baked on one sheet, which is the one new man of Ephesians chapter 2. So the separation is reversed and we come back together. This happened at Corny's house in Acts chapter 10, right? And also then with the Samaritans following that. So it also reverses Babel. You know Babel? That's Babylon. Tower of Babel. Because God made 70 languages there and 70 people groups and 70 nations. This is why there's 70 sacrifices in Sukkot. Because it includes the nations as well. But this reverses Bavel, because there you had the languages confused, and at Acts chapter 2, everybody heard their own language non-confused and back together as one body. So we have these, the progression of Messiah's plan is made full and at Acts chapter 2, and it is the birthday of what is called the church. And so when you got born again, you experienced the same thing that happened in Acts chapter 2. But that's the first place it happened. When you got born again, the Holy Spirit indwelt your spirit, and you became a new creation. Amen? So it's a great event that we should celebrate, as it is commanded. Celebrate with joy the Feast of Shavuot, and bring an offering. It's a Shabbat, and few other things there in Leviticus 23. But anyway, Joel prophesied it. Yeshua said it's coming and now is. And then he says, if any man thirst, nisi meant, which of the Spirit which has not yet been given. And then finally, whoopee, Acts chapter 2 happens. And what takes place? All these people got born again. There's probably more than 3,000. They probably just included the men. And so then this ministry exploded, and there were signs and wonders all over the place. And I mean, talk about turning upside down Jerusalem. You know, a bunch of these people that got saved were the ones that committed the unforgivable sin earlier. And then there were Pharisees complaining about Cornelius coming in. And so they were unforgivable sin people, which we don't need to talk about what sin that was and why you can't commit it. But there was all these people against Yeshua before this happened that probably just got wiped out. And they said, these people been drinking? And Peter says, it's not the same wine you're thinking about. Because the wine, remember, the new wineskins? You can't put new wine in old wineskins. This is the new wineskin event that Yeshua talked about here. And wine represents the joy. And so I'm sure there were some crying, some laughing, some dancing. Yes, some dancing, you know it. To the point where people were like this, and there is always religion. There is Holy Spirit, and then there's religion. The religion said, been drinking. I would never do that. But everybody over here is just drunk in the Spirit. So as the commercial says on TV, stay thirsty, my friends. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit. Thank you that we can actually hear the voice of God and sense the yeses and the noes, the Urim V'Tumim, the Urim and Thurim we have inside of us now, to where we can get direction, be led by the Spirit, have communion with God Himself, feel His heart in our heart, be one with Him. Thank you, Lord, for such a great honor that we have to get to know You in this way and to worship You in spirit, worship You in Ruach. So, Lord, I pray, release Your Ruach in Your people fresh again. Release this Ruach in us today and tomorrow, Lord God. And in these last days, Lord, may Your Ruach blow on us mightily, that people would see the fire and hear the voice of God. B'Shem Yeshua, Amen, Amen, Shabbat Shalom. Hag Sameach. Yavah rekaka Adonai v'yishmereka, Yair Adonai panavaleka v'chunecha, Yisa Adonai panavaleka v'yoseim l'ka shalom, B'Shem Yeshua HaMashiach, which is in you. Amen. Amen. Todah Rabbah, and Lord, Shabbat Shalom. Hallelujah.